Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Representative Paul Anderson. You served on the conference committee for the Omnibus Ag Bill that was moved out of committee here. Tell us how that went and what were some of the big items in that bill that you were looking at and some of the outcomes there.
Well, Whitney, the bill came back out of conference committee better than when it left out of the House floor, in my opinion. The three big things I think that made the bill better, the language on treated seed was all stripped out of the bill, and the language that really made a big change in the Board of Animal Health was also taken out. They did wound up adding one additional member to the Board of Animal Health, going from 6 to 7. And that additional member would be a veterinarian who was specializing in companion animals. So I think everybody is okay with that. And the other thing that I liked coming out of the conference was that at least from the House side, the state contribution to the new grain indemnity fund was increased from $5 to $10 million, which means that there will be no checkoff blinking on immediately because the baseline funding would be now $8 million. So if it stays above that, there'll be no checkoffs on farmers' grain checks. So those are all good things in the bill.
And serving in that conference committee, was it something that how much discussion went on, how much debating back and forth? How did that work for you?
Well, we had one meeting about a week ago, went through the what's called the side-by-side and the same and similar. And then after that, they notified us every day that the committee would not be meeting. So mainly it boiled down to negotiations between the two chairs of the committee. And we were notified that the agreement had been reached and went through some of the provisions. And then we had a hearing again that kind of finalized the bill on this past Saturday. So as far as negotiations, it was mainly the two chairmen that put this thing together. And then the rest of us were called back in to kind of go over it. I did have a couple of amendments that were accepted in that meeting on Saturday. No big deal. I raised the limit of coverage on the indemnity fund from $200,000 to $300,000, and then just changed the word from made a must, saying the commissioner must not do the checkoff fee of farmers if the fund is over that $8 billion mark. So that's the extent of my contributions, a couple of amendments that were accepted in that last hearing on Saturday.
Okay. And another thing that passed through the Senate here, I guess that was yesterday, was the paid family and medical leave. What are your thoughts on that? And what are you hearing from constituents and just sort of your overview?
Well, that bill is going to really change the climate, the business and tax climate in Minnesota. And a lot of businesses are very concerned, to be honest, about what this is going to mean, because this bill, Minnesota's bill, is by far the most that has the most benefits of any bill that I've heard any place. I think there are like 10 states that have some kind of a paid family leave provision in statute. This one would allow up to 24 weeks off for a combination of bonding with a new baby, and then also for taking care of a family member, a total of 24 weeks. And the payment system lined up so far is a joint payment between the employer and the employee of totaling 0.7 of 1%. Well, if you add up the benefits of taking, 12 weeks off, it's pretty obvious that that's not going to be enough to cover the cost of this bill. And already there is a provision to limit that tax increase to 1%, going up from the 0.7 up to 1%. So it's concerning that this bill provides benefits that are very, very lucrative. And, I think there's a place for bills such as this, but one that is scaled back more along the federal standards of allowing fewer weeks off with pay and that type of thing. But again, a lot of concern among businesses about can they afford this? And the big thing, Whitney, is that this would affect any business in the state, even one with as few as one employee. You know, the federal guideline is 50 or more with the state law here in Minnesota. If it is signed, and it looks like it will be by the governor, will go down to any size, even down to as few as one employee, which is very concerning.
Okay, and in your area, I know there's a lot of agriculture producers as well. What are you hearing from those individuals?
Well, again, this would affect farmers as well that would have employees. And again, you know, working on a farm is a bit different because the work has to be done when Mother Nature says you can do it. So you really could be difficult to take 6 or 12 weeks off during the height of, you know, calving season or spring planting or harvest, and then trying to find replacement employees for that. And one other example, it would be a school system where if a teacher, for example, would request 12 weeks off, substitutes are very hard to come by. And it's just going to put a real additional squeeze on the workforce availability in Minnesota when you have to find replacements on a long-term basis for people and then guarantee their jobs back again when they come back to work.
All right. Anything else that you're looking forward to here this session, some things you're keeping an eye on, or maybe just, you know, a rundown of what the rest of this legislative schedule looks like?
Well, in terms of what is happening here, you know, we have this huge surplus up to $19 billion. And despite that, we are going to be spending all of that and then some, and have tax increases of upwards of $10 billion, a lot of that to fund this new paid family leave program. So there seems to be an insatiable appetite for spending here. Our budget going to increase by about 35%. And the concern is that, is this sustainable? Because we're not going to have these good times forever. There's going to be hard times coming again. And the state, I've seen both surpluses and deficits. And when you spend this much money, you have to wonder what's going to happen when the economy slows down, tax collections decrease. And then what do you do with this kind of built-in spending in the state budget?
All right. Anything else we should touch on before we let you go?
I think that pretty well covers it. There's items in the tax bill that some are positive for ag. You know, there's a provision to increase the ag homestead in the state up to 3.5 million right now. It's at about 1.9, but with the rapidly increasing price of land, the number of acres covered by the ag homestead hasn't kept up with the dollar amount. So we'll see if that provision sticks and stays when the tax conference committee finishes its work, but they have a long ways to go yet to come up with a tax bill in their conference committee.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier the treated seed provisions in the ag bill. We've heard that there are still some provisions in the environment bill that pertain to treated seed. Have you heard of those, and what are your thoughts there?
Well, as I understand, the provisions in the environment bill dealing with treated seed primarily are seed disposal. And it seems, although it is covered by law already, it seems pretty common sense that you wouldn't go and dump treated seed in a river or a creek or a lake, or you wouldn't burn treated seed in your corn stove, for example. So I think those disposal issues are kind of common sense. But there are some provisions in that environment bill that are also concerning for agriculture. One of them is what's called a drainage portal, where it would be very easy to track what's happening right now anyway in that portal on the public ditch improvements to allow folks to see what's happening and possibly line up some opposition and slow down these projects that need to get done with keeping up our drainage systems here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard ag producers talking about that as well, and it kind of gives maybe a little bit too much information to those that aren't aware of the context around it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And to me, the litmus test here is we have what's called a drainage working group in Minnesota. And that's where some of these drainage situations, proposals should originate. But this didn't come from them. It came from one legislator. And again, the drainage working group is not in favor of this new portal. And I think let them do their work and let some of these things develop in their jurisdiction. But so far, that's not happened. And this has come from outside that drainage working group.
All right. Well, I think that's all I have for questions for you. Anything else to add before we let you go?
No, I think that pretty well covers it, Whitney.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Representative Paul Anderson joining us on the Red River Farm Network.